The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are the words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. Such a beautiful gospel to read about how Jesus appears to the apostles in the upper room, the disciples that were there, and instead of scolding them or maybe laughing at them or questioning them why they didn't believe or why they abandoned him, he just smiles and says, "Peace be with you." And it took them by surprise. They had just been there trying to figure out what was going on because they knew Jesus had died, and yet somehow the tomb was empty and people are seeing him in different places and he looks different. He doesn't look the same, and they're in wonder, and these disciples come back from Emmaus and they're like, "We saw him, and then he broke the bread, and then he like disappeared, and all of a sudden he's there again." What a beautiful gift it would have been to be there in the upper room to see that happen and to hear Jesus start to explain to the apostles and disciples everything. And you know, if I could have been there, I'd have never had to go to theology to learn anything. If I could have just listened to Jesus explain everything from the scriptures, it makes you wish, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, why didn't you guys write a little bit more, you know, because he said a lot and you wrote very little. As I was thinking about this gospel and some ideas for today's homily, I was remembering something that happened to me in a few days before I was ordained a priest. And you see, in the ordination to be a priest, the bishop, he places his hands on your head. He lays his hands on you. And we know that this comes from the early church. The apostles in this moment in the upper room, they're not the 12 anymore. They're just the 11 because they lost Judas. And it wasn't until they chose Matthias to take the place of the 12. And what did they do? Right when they chose him, they laid their hands on him. He was ordained an apostle, a bishop. And so what was going through my mind before ordination, and I was there with a few of my friends who were going to be ordained together with me. There was 50 of us that were going to be ordained. And we thought to ourselves, we had been told that the bishop who would ordain us was named Cardinal Velasio, in Italian. And we were thinking, I wonder who ordained Cardinal Velasio? And it was Cardinal Angelo, another Italian. And I'm like, well, who ordained him? And we started to go back, and we're like, maybe we can get back to the apostles in the upper room. Maybe it was like James or John, or let's figure it out. And we started to look it up, and lots of Italians, lots of French guys, and eventually we got to this Italian guy named Cardinal Rabiba in 1504. And then we kind of hit a dead end, right? There just weren't more records to look at. The archives had been lost, and, you know, it's 500 years ago, it's quite a while. So we couldn't really figure it out to the end, but we knew somehow there was one of the apostles. And, you know, if you were a priest in Ireland, you would know that St. Patrick, the great St. Patrick, would have been in your family tree of a priest, right? And so if you're in India, we think St. Thomas the Apostle went over in India, so the priests over there can claim Thomas as kind of their, you could say, priest tree, the apostle. When we were doing this, we figured out at 1504, I counted the amount of bishops there, and it sounds like it'd be a lot, but it ended up being only 22 bishops. And all of a sudden, the upper room didn't seem so far away, because if you multiply that by four to get 2,000 years, the average comes out to 88 bishops between me and Jesus, right? And that was just a really awesome thought that you'd think it'd be like thousands, but it really wasn't. And so when I got to my ordination, my poor brother, he's a priest as well, and there was 50 of us, so, you know, I've told the story, he was like 10 spots behind me in line, so he'll forever be the baby priest of our family, right? I was way before him a priest, and so yet we have this family tree that, you know, Cardinal Rabiba, that's as far back as we got, and it's beautiful for me and Father Jason. But then I thought, wait a minute, the sacrament of ordination is not the only time that the bishop places his hands on us. Confirmation. The bishop will place his hand on you and will trace on your forehead a cross with the sacred chrism. And you know, someone confirmed that bishop, and another bishop confirmed that bishop, and you could, you know, do the math. It's probably about 80 to 100 bishops, you could say, from the apostles right up to Jesus. And so when we, everyone here who's been confirmed, stand before that bishop and we are confirmed, or the priest who was delegated by the bishop to be confirming, right? All of a sudden we realize that upper room is not far away and there's a chain that's unbroken. And I guess we could ask ourselves today, you know, if that chain, we're all kind of a link in that chain, and on the one side we have those 80 people, generations to the Last Supper, the question we probably have to ask is, am I going to break that chain? Am I going to be the last one? Or will I live my life in a way that someone else can link onto me? I think it's beautiful when you watch a mom or a dad come in with a little toddler, and sometimes they help the toddler dip their hand in the holy water, and they help them make the sign of the cross. It's a beautiful way of passing on the faith. I remember my grandmother, you know, one of my first memories of anything religious was sitting by grandma, and she was doing this thing with her hands. She had this like chain, and she was praying this thing called a rosary, and her lips were moving, but she kept praying it in silence during the Mass. That's just what she did. And I was thinking, as a boy, like, I knew grandma was doing something religious, like somehow there was a God up there and she was talking to someone. And in that little way, grandma was passing on the faith. So our young people here, many of you have just been confirmed last year or the year before, and a lot of you here are going to be confirmed. You'll be that link in the chain, and that's why we look to you for so much hope, and we're proud of you. It's a big deal to stand up for your faith in a world that sometimes makes fun of anyone who wants to be religious, right? And so we look to you with joy because we know there's a future that our church, that link from the upper room, continues. And what that means is Jesus told the apostles, I want you to go out into the world and spread the good news. Get your feet dirty. Go out. And the church has never gone back. In a sense, we're all out there being a light to the world. And that's a beautiful way of being a Christian. So this week, in your way, talking with God in your personal path, what's your way to be living that Christian faith, to be a link? There's a million ways to do this. In fact, there's as many ways as there are people. You, with your gifts you've been given, how will I live in such a way that when I get to heaven, I can say, I was a link in the chain and it kept going after me, right? And all the angels and saints will get to see all those that we never knew, right? In our chain back to, you know, I'll figure out who's after Cardinal Rabiba, right? Maybe there'd be a really cool saint, you know, someone in the middle there that we lost to time. That would be great. And unfortunately, when we get there, my brother will still be the baby priest of my family, just to keep that clear. He'll be here around July. So if you see him, you can ask him all about that. He loves to explain it himself. So this week, my brothers and sisters, let us not be afraid to go out into the world with our light, to get our feet dirty, to be able to give witness through the way we talk, act, think, and live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.